You're listening to 774 ABC Melbourne. You are with me, Raphael Epstein, and I welcome to the studio, as I do every Monday, Jane Fisher. She's the Jean Howes Professor of Women's Mental Health at Monash University. Hi there, Jane.
Hello, Raph.
Now, we are going to talk secrets, those little details that bubble to the surface. Perhaps somebody in the family has an outburst, and maybe it changes the way the family works. What sort of secrets, Jane?
Well, secrets are normally kept because of things that people are ashamed about or they're frightened about or sometimes for a competitive advantage. And sometimes secrets are relatively benign. Many women will know that they disguise the amount of they've spent on an item of clothing and perhaps tell a half-truth or hide it altogether.
That's an okay secret, isn't it?
That's an okay secret. But there are more serious secrets, and sometimes children can discover, for example, that they were adopted and they hadn't known, or they were conceived by donor gametes and they hadn't known. And often habits that people are ashamed of, like gambling and alcohol use, are kept secret while their destructive effects take place. And in general, secrets in families have a destructive effect on trust within close relationships.
Yes.
But also the secret holder can experience it as pretty burdensome.
Yeah. Look, 1300 222 774, I would love to know if your family has unearthed a secret. I imagine many of the secrets would be around perhaps former marriages, former children. You would hope that there aren't too many families, but I'm sure there aren't many families who discover that somebody is secretly addicted to something like alcohol or gambling. 1300 222 774. You can, of course, use the text as well, 0437 774 774. But Jane, I would imagine in particular the secret about perhaps a child from a previous relationship, that might not always be such a negative secret. There might be quite a few families where that's another member of the family, and therefore that can be a secret that might be tough to tell in the beginning, but can end up being a positive?
I think it depends how it was managed, and I think it's managed differently now than it might have been one or two generations ago. It used to be sometimes that people grew up thinking that their mother was somebody who ultimately turns out actually to be their grandmother.
Yeah,
and
that's a pretty
older
one,
sister
isn't it?
was in fact their mother. And I think that does have destructive effects if someone grows up with a misunderstanding of what a really fundamental relationship was, and then tries to reshape it in adult life. I think certainly practices used to contribute to this, and people were told if they'd adopted a child, don't tell a child. It's just the caregiving environment that matters.
Well, surely a lot of the, I would imagine that many secrets are kept for what seem like the best intentions at the time.
Yes, I think so. Sometimes they're kept in ways we would now argue might be rather paternalistic. They're making decisions about on someone else's behalf. And I think definitely secrets about your heritage are secrets that ultimately are destructive.
So that's about parents, you mean?
Yes, and sometimes biological heritage. And we did some research a couple of years ago, and it turned out that someone had grown up not knowing that she was conceived by donor sperm, and she still retained a very warm attachment to her father, but was told on her 21st birthday. And this was something totally unanticipated, and it was distressing for him and it was distressing for her. And I think our services should have done better, should have helped them know from the beginning how to tell, rather than in any way fostered an idea that this was something to be ashamed about, that that shouldn't be told.
Is there a good way to reveal a secret that's long lay hidden?
I think there are good ways. I think certainly if we're talking about secrets in relation to children, we're really advised now to weave them into the way you talk to a child from the earliest stages of life. So before a baby can speak or understand language, to use ways of explaining to them how they were made but they are still loved.
Yeah.
And there are now some terrific books that can help us, some ways of using initially storytelling and then gradually as a child grows, giving them the factual information they need for their developmental stage.
Sure. What about the secret where mum or dad has been married before or has a child from a previous relationship. Mm. And the new mum or the new dad, you know, the, so the partners, the adults may very well know that. Is there a right or a wrong time to tell the children inside that relationship? I mean, I can think of a few people who've got a child, you know, and it's, you know, the child's a teenager when the next set of children are born.
Yeah.
Is there a right and a wrong time to tell the children in the current relationship?
I think it's always right to use now,
right,
not to delay it. And siblings who grow up and discover in adult life that perhaps there was a half-sibling they'd never met or never known often feel great grief about that. Here was a relationship of importance to me that I didn't know about.
Yes.
And maybe we would never have got along, but we are in fact linked to each other.
Sure.
And we needed to know about each other.
Yeah.
This is, of course, particularly common when there's migration or disruption following war, and things happen when people are in those circumstances.
Yeah.
And it's certainly known for people to discover among their perhaps dead parents' papers evidence that there was a previous child or a sibling.
I imagine that's a pretty wild ride as well. Yeah. Look, 1300 222 774. I'd love to know, in particular, I'd love to know how your family dealt with the secret when the secret was revealed, and what sort of impact it had. 1300 222 774. I've got a few texts here as well. 0437 774 774. I'll get to them in a moment. Nick has called from Frankston. Hi there, Nick.
Hi, Rath. Hi, Jane.
Hello, Nick.
Hello. I have basically a parallel story that you spoke about, Jane, which was finding out that your mother is your grandmother.
Can you tell us a bit about that, Nick? What your situation is?
Look, you know, it's stable, suburban upbringing. There's no real major issues. There's nothing dark. And what eventually happened was my wife worked out after saying, you know, there's no photos. You've got four other siblings, but there's no photos of mum pregnant.
Mm.
And you'll find this funny, is that you're the only person in the family that has those ears.
There's some biological giveaways, aren't there?
Yeah, I guess so. Do you think you're adopted? And I just dismissed it. I mean, this is, I guess that's the point, is that of the power of the lie is that the sibling accepts it so readily. I mean, we just like to be nurtured.
Yes.
And we accept our parents are our parents, but it turns out that my sister is my mother. And it was worked out by my far smarter wife than myself, so...
Tell us, have you discussed this with your sister or with your grandmother?
We have. The unfortunate thing is that my rearing parents or my grandparents are now passed away. So that this, being a late starter with this sort of conversation means that you miss out on those opportunities to, I guess, one, thank them because I didn't go up for adoption. I was kept within the family. But two, also say, hey, can we sort of back off on how we've been treating my sister as a consequence, because she was labelled the black sheep of the family. And that's the second point of the lie, is that what ends up happening is it defines someone inappropriately.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's been an interesting experience.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for letting us know about that. Can you tell us a little bit, just quickly, how you get along with your mother, sister now?
Look, actually, I think it's destined to be better than it ever was, because, of course, part of the process of managing a situation was to, and I think you used the word shame, because it was a shameful time that she fell pregnant in the, you know, Colac in the late 60s.
Yes.
You know, there was none of the contemporary attitudes that we have now. She was defined that for life, and therefore the family accepted that definition, including myself.
Yeah.
And now, of course, I think once you realise the lie, you then move on from that, and I think it's destined to be better, but it's still uncomfortable.
Okay. Look, Nick, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate that. There's a text here from Simon. Our son is from IVF. Not a big deal, but we have a photo in his room as an 8-day-old cell, and we've always discussed it openly around him. He's nearly six, and one day we will no doubt discuss it with him in detail. That's an interesting one.
A great story.
Jane, another Jane, has called from Geelong. Hi there, Jane.
Hi there. My story is a little bit unusual, but I feel okay to talk about it because my family is all back in the UK, and my father had a marriage after the Second World War. He caught the end of the war, and people went a bit wild, I think, after that. And then he had a family, and then that didn't work out. And then when I was 17, I discovered this other family existed. It came out quite by accident with a conversation with my mother.
Right.
She said how she used to think she was adopted when she was young because she had different colour hair from her siblings. And I said, oh, funny, I used to think Daddy was married before. And this look passed across her face, and I said, oh, my goodness, he was.
So she had known all along. She'd had to keep the secret.
Yeah. It was a big, you know, they were in that era. It was a dreadful thing to have a divorce. And, that was all.
Have you managed to make a link with your half-siblings?
Yes. I met him when I was 30, and he was, trying to think, probably mid-40s. And then my older brother, if you like, my full brother, was away in the Navy, and it was another secret that had to be kept.
Right.
He wasn't told. My parents said, oh, they didn't think he would handle it as well as I had. But I actually hadn't handled it terribly well. I'd sort of dealt with it myself over time.
When you say you didn't handle it well, Jay, what impact did it have on you?
I was really angry with my father for a period of time because I felt like I didn't know my father for a while.
I think that's what it does, is it reduces your trust in that person who is so closely linked to you and causes disbelief in what else has been told to you, not just about this matter.
Yeah, and then my next brother up was told at 34 our half-brother Tom came into our lives, and he apparently was just like water off a duck's back, but I know that wouldn't have been the case.
Can I just ask you a quick question, Jane? Look, lots of people want to tell us their story, but a quick one. You found out when you were 17. Was your father in contact with that other family while you were young?
It was one of those things where he'd supported them financially. His wife had actually had a baby by somebody else when he was away, and so that marriage had been very hard, and he'd supported them financially but had never been able to see them.
Right, okay.
It was all very, that was that era.
I'm sure. Look, thank you, Jane. I really appreciate it. Great to hear how different people get affected by it. I appreciate you sharing that. Ricky has called in from Berwick. Hi, Ricky.
Hi, Ruth. How are you going?
Good. What's your story?
It's kind of a weird one. My mother, who's in her late 80s, and is suffering from dementia, but her short-term memory is gone, but her long-term memory is perfect. And she's actually telling me all these stories from the past about her past life and how she's had all these affairs and all that.
Affairs?
Several.
Right.
I mean, I think she's unloading, so to speak.
Yes.
I mean, I feel kind of privileged.
But
she hasn't told my sister on it. I don't have a problem with this. I mean, it's all in the past, but my sister would have a massive problem with it.
Does it add to your picture, though, of your mother? Does it, I mean, maybe it makes you understand aspects of her character more?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And perhaps your sister needs to be able to make this decision on her own behalf rather than have others make it for her. Because she too has a right to engage with your mother's past. It might be something that your mother could talk to her about.
Yeah, I've suggested it to Mum, but it's kind of, you know, I don't think Mum wants to, and
no.
I kind of have a bit of difficulty with it. Should I tell my sister? Shouldn't I? And if I do, I'm betraying a trust from Mum and all that type of stuff. You know?
That's one of the burdensome things about secrets, is it not only affects the secret holder, it affects the other person who's recruited to hold the secret. And it's a difficult role to hold, but it might be one you can say to your mum, I'd prefer not to have to hold this secret.
I don't think there's many more, or I hope there's not many more to come out anyway.
Well, you never know. You never know, Ricky. Look, thank you for calling. And as the song says, a secret is something you tell another person. Just I want to read out one text to you. This is from Lisa. My abusive ex went on to have another child. I've not yet told my daughter, that she has a half-brother. She is 9, and I don't know how to tell her now. Yeah, look. It sounds difficult. Let's have a word to Gil, who's called in from Clifton Hill. Hi there, Gil.
Hi, hello, Jill.
I'm sorry, Jill. I apologise.
That's no problem. I've got a great story. So I was adopted in the 70s in South Africa, and my mum and dad did a wonderful job of, as you said earlier, just weaving that into the story of kind of how I came about, telling my brother and I, who was adopted 5 years earlier, that we were extra special because they had chosen us, whereas other mums and dads just got their baby. Yeah. They actually picked us. So it was a very special way. And I always grew up feeling quite special in a way that that was the case.
Yes.
And in my late 20s, I decided to find my biological mother, Liz, and she was back in South Africa.
That can't have been easy, having to go across national borders to do that.
It did. It took about 5 years. It took a long time, but I think I had quite a bit of information, so it wasn't too hard once it got processed to track her down. And they contacted her and said, look, your daughter would like to contact you. And her immediate reaction was, yes, of course. But then she got off the phone and she realised, well, now I have to tell everyone in my life who I've never told, and that included her husband and her whole entire family. So she'd concealed the pregnancy and then gone off to a cousin's place and had a cesarean under a general anaesthetic and never seen me and then just never ever spoken about it.
So she'd had that burden all her life.
Terrible, terrible. And that was one of the main reasons for me wanting to find her, was so she would know I'm great, I've got this wonderful life, and I didn't suffer as a result of her choice in any way. So she bravely told her husband, who just said, you know, I know you've got such integrity that if that is what you had to do, that was the only way you knew how to cope. So he was extremely accommodating. Mm. And then with the help of a counsellor, they told their son, who was only 21 at the time, and he was so good about it. He just laughed and said, well, there's not much I can do that is worse than that, so I can't really get involved anymore.
It's a good way of framing it. And have you met these people?
Yes, I have. Yes, many times. They come over here probably once a year, once every 2 years, and I've been over once to meet everyone, which was it was a very overwhelming emotional trip, but a wonderful trip. And we keep in really close contact.
But I think that shows that when this is done with sensitivity and care, it can in fact be much better than ever could be imagined.
That's exactly right. And it's a kind of a perfect ending. I never could have imagined that it would end up so well, and we'd all be so happy. And my parents also they're very grateful that I've done that, and that they've been able to see the joy that's been brought into Liz's life.
Well, that's generous of them too.
Yeah, very generous. Great. We're very lucky.
Thanks so much, Jill. And you've got a whole extra family as well. Thank you for ringing and telling us that. There's a text here. My brother was raised as my cousin and didn't find out until he was a teenager. He took it pretty hard that he had two brothers rather than cousins. Wow, there's a whole longer story in that text, isn't there? Let's have a word to Louise from Glen Waverley. It's coming up to 5 minutes to four on 774 ABC Melbourne. Hi there, Louise.
Oh, hi there. I think the point I want to make is the importance of giving children information or keeping it safe.
Mm-hmm.
My mum was a single mum. It was after the war. And she really fought to keep me. It was difficult in those days. And so I always knew the story, and she actually remarried, and I've had a wonderful adoptive father. Everything was great. I was their flower girl at their wedding. But she had some letters and photos from my real dad, who did stay in communication after she came from Germany to Australia. And when she fell in love with Dad, she sort of felt disloyal keeping it and destroyed them all, which was never an issue till I had children myself.
Yes.
And all of a sudden I wanted information. And even just the photo, I know I look like him, I know I have characteristics like him.
Yes.
And all of a sudden half of your information is missing. And
have you managed to
I don't think he really wants to be contacted now. She did go back to Germany at one point and notified all the correct organisations that we'd like to make contact, but he's obviously not interested. But I wouldn't have minded seeing that photo that she had and that kind of thing. And so I don't think it's going to happen. But even when, you know, doctors say, you know, what about family history, about medical things? Well, I've only ever got, you know, 50% of the information.
Yeah.
But it's not that I was missing a loving family. I've had a wonderful father. Times you'd actually forget that you were adopted because, you know, there were more children later, and I've got half-siblings. But, don't ever get rid of information. It belongs to the child, even though they're not asking about it when they're young. They will one day want to know, and I think that's
a very important message.
that's all really.
Thank
Louise,
you.
Louise, can I just ask, have you Googled?
I have Googled.
Right. No luck?
I've got his name and I've got his year of birth. That's all the information I've got, and nothing has come up. And by the sound of, I mean, he was a brave man. He'd escaped East Germany. He was only 25. I can fully understand that he didn't want to be saddled with a baby as he was having to, you know, rebuild his life, you know, in Western Germany. So I don't hold it against him at all, but they did break up over it. He basically wanted Mum to have an abortion, and Mum said, no way, I'm having this baby. But I don't think that makes him a horrible person. I think he'd been through a lot, and, you know, that was how he felt. And the fact that he continued communication once we'd come to Australia, you know, there would have... I'd like to think of handwriting, you know. It'd be interesting just to know... sort of where he was at that time. But anyway,
I don't think you should give up your quest to communicate at some level with him.
No.
You know, as he ages, he might too reflect on this. And
sometimes that's
true. Persistence is really valued on both sides, and sometimes people are very sad when they've left it too late.
Well, who knows? We'll see.
Louise, has anyone you know, maybe family or friends, have they encouraged you to go to Germany to look for him?
Yes, I would if I could. I mean, my current situation, I'm not really that free to travel. I've got a disabled child and I'm a bit tied up. But certainly I would if I could. But as I said, my mum went back a few years ago and went to all the particular organisations and authorities that to notify. But obviously it's got to be both ways. Both people want to make contact. So he obviously doesn't want to.
Sure.
And quite likely started a new life and put all that behind him. But even just being able to see a photo of your children, my mum's in there claiming, you know, his ears and so-and-so's nose, and I'm saying, well, Mum, there's only half the picture here, you know.
Yes. Indeed.
But anyway, that's just that, really.
Look, thank you, Louise.
Thank
I appreciate
you calling.
See you later.
Bye.
There you go. Look, there's another remarkable text here. There's so much in this one story. At the age of 25, I found out my stepfather is my biological father. Relationship's all good, but for the first 24 hours, it suddenly made me wonder who I was and would it change anything? Mm. There you go. And look, one more text here. My secret from my 89-year-old mum is that I have chronic leukemia. If I told her, it would probably cause her distress, but not telling her is also hard. Mm. Wow. There are so many remarkable secrets out there. Look, thank you for sending that in. Jane? Beautiful to have you in again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jane Fisher is the Jean Hales Professor of Women's Mental Health at Monash University. Life and Other Catastrophes. We do this every week at about 3:30 on Mondays. You can go to the homepage abc.net.au/Melbourne to listen to this conversation and others.